I believe this meeting will bless somebody. I believe this meeting will bless somebody. I have no idea of doubt that God has sent me this morning for somebody.
Are you with me? If you know how God did it, he's not involved. He's actually not the one that did it. You did it yourself. So for him to have been the one doing it, you wouldn't know. So don't try to know. That's what brings about all kinds of curiosity, anxiety, tension, and pressure. Because we want to know. That's why the Bible says in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 7, verse number 3, or verse number 2 rather, the Bible said that the man whom the king's power rested on said to the king, if God will open the windows of heaven, how can these things be? Because the man wants to know how. He wants to know how God will do it. Beloved, is he God's advisor? Are you with me? God does not need him to do it. So why would he know how God will do it? He began to envisage. Even if God makes the whole windows, everywhere in heaven window, how can this thing be? In other words, even if God made windows in heaven, it still will not happen. Praise God. And thank God for the prompt word of the man of God. And he said, because you don't understand, you won't see, you will see how, you will see that he did it. You will see that he will do it, but you will not partake. I speak to you. What God will do in your life from now to the end of the year, you will not just see, you will enjoy it. Are you with me? I say you will not just see, you will also enjoy. You will partake of it. Glory to Jesus. That's what he's saying to us today. Just get set, because something unusual, something extraordinary is about to take place in somebody's life. I look at the book of Mark chapter 4. Let's start. Mark chapter number 4. It will help us to go very fast in the time we are. Because God is not an author of confusion. He wants to set his people out from the crowd. We're living in a very delicate time. And I advise every believer of Jesus Christ to step up. Tell your neighbor, step up. I read from verse 10. He said, but when he was alone, those around him were the 12 asked him about the parable. They want to know how. Lord, this your parable is so difficult. We can explain it. Can you tell us how these things will be? And Jesus made a statement that I am connected to, verse 11. And he says to them, to you, it has been given. Say to me. Say it as a believer. It has been given. To know. Somebody said to know. The mystery of the kingdom. To me, it is given. To know. The mystery of the kingdom of God. Now look at what he says, the other side. He said, but to those outside. But to those outside. It was not given. Everything was to them in parables. Why? Let's explain. So that seeing they may see, not perceive. Hearing they may hear, not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. What am I trying to say to us? It is a privilege that you are counted among of those God picked. Somebody, are you with me? Listen, you are not saved because you gave your life to Christ. You are saved because he gave his faith to you. Is somebody with me? Oh, okay, maybe next Sunday, I promise you that I will do that, but God directed me differently. I wanted to share with you the faith that we try to lure the church into, the Old Testament faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, where we're talking about faith, that's exactly where we look at most times when we want to talk about faith. Say, now faith is. The evidence of things not seen, and the substance of things hoped for. Are you there? Now listen, those things are not a description of faith. No. Those things are description, rather. They are not definition of faith. They are not definition of faith. As a matter of fact, the faith that was explained in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is called Old Testament faith. It's not a New Testament faith. And New Testament faith and Old Testament faith are not the same. I pray for you, you will step out from the Old Testament faith. Amen. Oh, somebody didn't hear me at all.
Amen.
Okay, maybe next Sunday we'll go into that fully. So what I'm trying to say is this. When he explained these things to them, he said, I gave you to know the mystery. I gave you an opportunity to know the mystery of the kingdom. It's a privilege. It's not what you labor for. It's not what you worth. It's just a privilege. To you, it was given. So I count myself privileged to be among of those that God gave wisdom to understand the mystery, because the kingdom of God is mystery. The kingdom of God is mystified. It's not what anybody can assess. That's why every other religion talks about how to get to Jesus, or how to get to God, rather. Every other religion talks about how to get to God. Every other religion. But in Christianity, it's not talking about how to get to God. Christianity now discovered that God cannot be getting to. Nobody will get to God in all these religions. So what did God do in Christianity? God came down to meet us. So Christianity is the only religion that brought God to you. So God came to you. Because he came to you, he gave you his faith. When he gave you his faith, you received him. You accepted the faith he gave you, and his grace brought you to himself. So when God came, God first and foremost knew that you cannot come to him. So what did he do? He gave you a magnetic God faith. So that magnetic power he attracted you to him, and when he attracted you to him, he created himself. That's why the Bible says we are saved by faith through We are saved by grace through faith, not of works. He says what? He said not of works. Lest no man boast. It's the free gift. It's a free what? So your salvation is what? A gift. It's a gift. So if you are given a gift, sir, did you work to get a gift? It's not what we worked for. It's what he gave us freely. So we are not going to parade or proud ourselves as people that did something extraordinary. No, it is a gift he gave to you. And because he gave you such gift, we're supposed to celebrate him, because he purposely pulled you out from millions of people. There are thousands of people who are seeking God till today. They're still seeking God. But you're not seeking God. God has found you. Say amen. He found you. He found himself. When people see God, they are subject under all kinds of scrutiny, under all kinds of laws, under all kinds of regulations. No, but when God found you, he picked you by himself. He pulled you from where you are and brought you into himself. So you're no longer struggling to see him. You are in him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Church, I say hallelujah. So those that are in him are called what? Sons. So my message today is sonship and servants. I sat here this morning waiting for the time, and my wife pulled her diary and showed me what she wrote. I was first of all getting startled, because I know peep into my notes. I was wondering, how did she come into this? I was a bit disturbed. All of the Holy Ghost made me understand that that's the Spirit of God. He does what he did for one, he can do for another. He opened her into understanding what he wants us to do in the now. So my message is sonship and servants. And I take my text again from the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. Please, the engineer, can you help me be fast? Genesis chapter number 22, I'll read from verse number 3. If you find it, you can read, so that we'll move very fast. Genesis 22 from verse 3.
The next morning, Abraham got up early.
Saddled his donkey and... Go ahead. How many servants did he take? Go ahead. Abraham, yes, go ahead. The third day of their journey, please listen to this. Abraham looked up, saw the place afar off. Verse 5. Abraham said to the servants, what did he say? Stay here with his donkey. My son and I will travel alone. Okay, hold on there. Now hear this. Oh, glory to God. The promise of God is not for servants. The manifestation of God's goodness is not for servants. The endorsement of God's kingdom is not in the hands of servants. What God wants to do in the days we are not for the servants. And that's why I'm telling everyone that cares to hear, it's time to migrate from servanthood to sonship. And the Bible said in the book of John chapter number 1 verse 12 that the only way you can do it is to receive Jesus. That's the only condition. We were all once servants, but some of us have been translated, have moved, have switched into sonship. John 1 verse 12 said, for as many that received him, for them he gave from what? Sons. We were servants, but as we received him, power came. That power transformed us. That power changed our status. That power moved our position from servanthood to sonship. And as many that have become sons, they are instruments, they are responsible agencies for the divine minded. God uses servants for earthly agendas, but God uses sons for heavenly mandates. There is no man that can be used of God in the fullness of his time, in the disposition we are, that has not found himself in the position of sonship. So if you are still a servant, you are still in the you're still a slave. Let me use the word. You are still in bondage. You are still held bound. But sons are no longer bound. Sons are liberated. Because if the son sets free, if the son releases you, you are free forever. So when you are released by the son, you are not released unto servanthood. You are released unto sonship. So when the son released the man, he released you unto himself. So as he is, so we are. So he is the son, we become what? Sons. Hear these sons of God. God wants to explain this. And he did what first? He came in the person of his son. God came down in the person of the son to explain to us what sons are. Abraham and Isaac, they are prototype of what God wants to do in the disposition we are. God used Abraham to explain to us what is to become of us. Servants can get to a certain level, but they cannot move into the inner court. Servants will ask to stay. No matter how much you love your servant, he remains a servant. A servant does not take the position of the son. That's why the Bible said that when God spoke to Abraham and Abraham understood the technicalities of God about what God was to do with him, the Bible said that God, having spoken to Abraham and made Abraham know of his promises in his life, the Bible said, and Abraham began to question. He complained and asked God, I know that your word is yea and amen. I know that your promises are true. But my servant, Eliezer, will take the position of my house. And God said, no, I am not dealing with servants. I'm not dealing with servants. I'm dealing with sons. I'm dealing with sons. I'm dealing with sons. Praise the Lord. I do not deal with servants. I deal with sons. And for me to deal with sons, I know what I have predestined. That's why I am using this as a prototype. I want to use this as a picture to paint of what will become of the nations of the earth. So when the Bible says Abraham went, he settled. The journey he began with servants. And when he got the point, he has to lay aside, he has to lay away or put away, rather the servants away out of the journey, because the servants are not part of the mandate. Because servants are destructive, servants are disconnected, servants are unqualified, servants are not instruments of divine mandate. So when he got the point, he left servants away and moved with his son. The Bible said when he got to a certain point, he has to put down his son on the wood that was prepared, because he wants to show the world what will become of him. God was showing Abraham what he wanted to do for the nation, so that he will bring these sons unto himself. When God said to Abraham, I will make you father of nations, God was not actually speaking to Abraham as a person. God was speaking to Isaac, because it is in Isaac that the promises of God came to fruition. God in Abraham speaking about Isaac, because Isaac has not yet been born, but God saw Isaac in Abraham. God is seeing something in your life. God is seeing something in your business. God is seeing something in your marriage. God is seeing something in your career. No matter how it is with you today, there is something about God that will be shown in your life tomorrow. Listen to me, sons of God. Don't shut down or don't close up on yourself. God is not yet true with you. If God is true with you, at the time you give your life to Christ, he will have picked you to heaven, because he wanted to do something extraordinary with you. That's why he still gave you life. That's why he still preparing you, because there is something the eyes have not seen that he wants to make happen in your life. You are an agent of change. Your world will see the manifestation of God in your life. There is a wonder in your inside that is about to come out. There is a testimony in your inside that the world is about to share. God kept you as a son because there is something in your inside. There is an Isaac in your womb, and that Isaac is shut up because there are loins of men, or there are giants of men in the loins of Isaac that is about to manifest. Hear me, sons of God. Everything about your life has been destined because there is a future that the Lord has preserved before he brought you to be. And that future will come to fruition, because God cannot lie. He that keepeth Israel does not sleep and does not slumber. Every purpose of God concerning your life will come to fruition. If you believe it, say better amen. Because you are an agent of change. Your word is waiting for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every part of God over your life will come to fruition. The Bible said, Isaac stood up and asked his father, my father, we had the wood, we have the matches, we have the knife, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord shall provide for him a lamb for sacrifice. Can you tell your neighbor, the Lord will provide? Let me hear you say it again. The Lord will provide. I don't care how bad it is, the Lord will provide. I don't care how terrible it is, the Lord will provide. He is a great provider. He provided for Abraham. He will provide for you. The Bible said that my father is not a respecter of persons. What he did for one, he can do for another. He will provide a lamb. If you believe, you say better amen. The Lord will provide for himself a lamb for sacrifice. Get set. Get set. Somebody get set. Something new is about to spring forth. On Wednesday, the Lord said to us that this house shall be called a well of wealth. Well of wealth. Hear me, sons of God. When God is talking, he's not talking about the walls. He's not talking about these edifices. God is talking about somebody. Because something new is about to be turned, to be brought out of your life. No. It may look dry today. It may look obscure today. It may look isolated today. But as far as the hand of God is on you, there is something new about your life. And I'm telling you today, he will bring it to fruition. You will see the wonders of God in your life. Come on, say better amen. Amen. Abraham asked him, how? Or Isaac rather, where is the lamb for sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord. The Lord. Hear these sons of God. Abraham was talking to his son, seeing Jesus. Because Jesus is the Lord. The picture that was painted in Abraham was to make us understand that God is a universal being. That's what he's called him. He was a being that rules and controls the earth. Now hear this. When God was to come onto the earth, I said it time and time with us here in this house. When God was to come to the earth, you know what? God had realized that everybody had called so many things God. They began to call everything God. Some people they called wood God. Some people called animals God. Some people called goats dog. Some people called even houses dog. They called trees dog or God. They called so many things God. And they began to worship so many things. So God say, no, I am not coming to the earth in the name of God or in the name God. I want to come to the earth in the name of a son. And he brought himself in the best, in a human form and sent himself unto us in the womb that was prepared in Mary. So when God showed up, God said, the name that will be called me now is no longer God. I do not care about how many gods you have, but I have a God, and that God I have a name. The name of the God I'm talking about is Jesus Christ. So God showed up and said, this is the name I shall be called from today. And that name has been exalted above every other name. That at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. So when Jesus is mentioned, the authorities of heaven stand still, because it's talking about the person of the new creation, the person that came to take over the rulership of the earth. So no matter the God they call, if it's not Jesus, it's not God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Only Jesus is called. It's not God at all. It's not God. You know, they said to us that we are serving the same God. It's the same God we are serving. But unfortunately, if you ask them to tell you the name of the God they're talking about, they don't know. They will tell you that Jesus is a son to God. A son to God. Some say he is one of the prophets. God said, this one you are seeing is me. I and this one, we are one. We are not separated. We are one person. But I came so that you will see me. Because if you come to me in the way I am, you'll be consumed. So I step down so that I can relate with you. I can become a man to you. And at the same time, God. Because Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. Are you there? So what we're talking about, sonship is not a status we own by ourselves, of ourselves. Sonship is a state of a man or a woman that was taken over by the Son. So until the Son takes over you, you are not a son at all. The Son is the one that takes over you and makes you to become the Son. You know, when the Bible said in the book of, God help me, Galatians chapter number 3. Let's see Galatians chapter number 3 first. Galatians chapter number 3. The last part of that scripture. I think, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm a son. I'm a son. Tell your neighbor, I'm a son. Hallelujah. You know, in the house of the shepherd, there are two kinds of animals. You will see the sheep, you see the goat. Praise the Lord. The sons are referred as the sheep, whereas the goats are referred as the servants. Listen to me. When you scold the sheep, when a shepherd calls the sheep returns to the shepherd. When a shepherd calls the sheep, the sheep runs away. Sorry, the goat runs away. He rebels. That's why when Jesus said to Peter, Satan, get behind me. Jesus said to Peter, what? Satan, get behind me. Peter didn't revolt because Peter was a sheep. Are you there? If Jesus said that, so Judas. Judas will have run without even coming back. I'm telling you. Because Peter was a sheep. That's why you hear certain people say, I came to church. As I was entering, the protocol shouted at me. That's why I will no longer go to the church. Because the protocol shouted at me. Because he's a servant. He's a goat. He does not understand. A sheep goes into his fold. The sheep does not leave his fold. No matter how a sheep is hot, he goes back to his fold. But no matter how a goat is pampered, the goat is looking for a way of escape. All the goat looks for are excuses, flimsy excuses. No matter how small the excuses are, the sheep or the goat rebels. But no matter how much of excuses the sheep heard, the sheep stays, because the Bible says, no other voice will the sheep hear except the voice of the shepherd. He said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hears me. There is no other voice that will attract at the attention of the sheep. The sheep follows the shepherd. The Bible said, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, I shall not want. My God, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. I am talking to somebody this morning. If you're the sheep, no matter how bad it appears today, because the shepherd knows the way. Hear me, sons of God, no matter how dry the forest is, the shepherd knows where it's greener. Is somebody with me? He's taking you there. I said, he's taking you there. It is not the responsibility of the sheep to provide for himself. It's the duty of the sheep to follow the shepherd. It is the duty of the shepherd to make sure that the sheep are provided for. That is why we have a lot of shepherds, permit me to use the word, shepherds in wolves, or wolves in shepherd's clothing. We have a lot of wolves in shepherd clothing. You know what they do? They milk the sheep and they make sure that the sheep are dried and they discard them, because they're not shepherd at all. But what when you see a shepherd is the one that lays his life for the sheep, because it is the duty of the shepherd to see that the sheep are kept well, preserved, protected, provided for. I am announcing to somebody this morning, because your eyes have been glued on him, no matter the lack of today, the beauty of tomorrow will outsmart the tension of today, because the shepherd is ahead of you. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing it for your good. In the name of Jesus Christ, the shepherd is going ahead. The shepherd will provide. Galatians chapter number 3. Let's be fast, chapter number 3. I'll read from verse number. Jesus. Galatians chapter number 3. Please follow me. I'll read from verse number. But number 26. So, he now said, for you are all sons of God. How? Someone is, how? How do you become a son? Come on, talk to me. How do you become a son? By faith. Come on, say by faith. I'm a son. By faith. Amen? In faith in whom? Faith in you. Faith in you. So it's not your faith. It's not your faith that made you a son. It's his faith. Are you there? I'm a son by faith in Christ Jesus. Go ahead. Go ahead, 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, woo, we have put on who? Christ. As many have been baptized into his son, we have become what? Sons. Are you there? As many that have been baptized in him, we have become him. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither free nor bond. There is no more male nor female. We are all one in Christ. Hallelujah. Go ahead. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Go ahead, go ahead. Continue, 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 continue. Yes, it's continuation. It didn't stop. It didn't stop. You know, I say now, I say that the heir, that son, as long as he remained a child, as long as the son refused to take responsibility, as long as the son refused to take knowledge, to accept knowledge, because it is knowledge that builds the son to become the son he is. Because no matter how much a son is, until the son grows, responsibilities are not given to him. Are you there? There are so many sons in church that live like what? Servants. Somebody, are you with me? Hello? Let me explain in 1 minute. That's why you see church people. They go for deliverance. They go for deliverance. You know how? From one deliverance to the other. That's why they will tell you that your father, your great-grandfather killed somebody. And that woman they killed, or man they killed, is the reason why your business is not going down. It's not going well, rather. They will tell you that your great-grandfather is responsible for you not having children. Your great-grandfather. That's why they will tell you all kinds of things. So they lure you into all kinds of deliverances. These are sons. But they are behaving like servants. They live in the realm of servanthood. Listen to me. That things haven't worked as you planned does not mean that God has traveled. Is somebody with me? Are you still there? There are people that are better than you, far better than you, that are not here today. Why did God leave you here? Because he has a plan for you. There is something about you that is bigger than you can see. Why you've not seen it is because you do not believe. I want you to wake up every day with a conscious mindset that he is working in me. My God, he is working, he's at work. And by the time he's done, he'll present me a masterpiece. Come on, sir, I hear. He'll present you a masterpiece. Hear this. He said, now and here, as long as he remains a child, different not from a servant, he is still a son. But because he is what? He's a child. He's still a son, but he's a child. You know, I look at that part B, or part A, or part B of Daniel 11 verse 32. Can you read it for me? Daniel 11 verse 32. Part B has part A and part B. Daniel 11, 32. Now, this is part 1. Let's look at part B. But, did you see that? It has 2 parts, Abby. Please, look at it. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. You are talking like servants. Now talk like sons. Now hear this. The people that what? Know. The people that know shall be. No, shall be. Shall be. Shall be. Isn't that what he said? First is to know. In the absence of knowledge, a son is a servant. What separates a son from servanthood is knowledge. Many are saved, but they are praying for God to save them when Jesus will come. When you want to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. He will remember you. Listen, if you are not sure of eternity now, when he comes, you will not miss him. You will not see him. That's the truth. If you are not sure of eternity now, if he comes tomorrow, you will still be expecting him to come. I'm not waiting for heaven. I'm not waiting for heaven to come. Heaven has come. Hello? I say heaven has come. I'm in my paradise. Oh, somebody hear me. The only thing that you are seeing is the clothes. The earthly clothes that I'm wearing. Let Jesus shut up. This earthly cloth will remove. And I will put on what? Immortality. And wherever he is, that is where I will be. Because I am in him. Are you with me? Are you in him? Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? So many people who are still servants are still looking forward to what Jesus will do. They are waiting for when Jesus will do what? But sons are convinced of what he has done. Now let me also go ahead in this direction. Servants laborers for their master. Sons laborers for themselves. Servants labor for the wages. Are you there? They labor for the wages. But sons labor for the joy. Are you there? Hello? That's why when you see servants, no matter what they do, they look towards the pay. When you see servants in church, unfortunately, when you see them in church, they want to see what was done. When you see sons in church, they want to do what they will see. Oh, did you hear that? Sons will do what they will see. Servants will see what sons have done. That's the difference. I want you to become the son you are. Go for knowledge. Go for knowledge. Because when knowledge comes, you will be transformed from servanthood. He says, John chapter number 8, verse 32. He said, we shall know. Come and say no. Who we know? Hello, who we know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall know. Come to the knowledge of the truth. Come to the knowledge of the truth. When servants comes to know the truth, Jesus, he becomes free. When servants come to Jesus, they seek to be free. You didn't hear this? They seek to be free. So the day, every day he comes, he keeps seeking to be free. He keeps seeking to be free. He keeps seeking to be free. When people pray certain prayers, you know where they're coming from. Every ancestral spirit from my father's house that is disturbing my business, fall down and die, he's a servant. He's a slave. Because the prayer simply says that you believe that the ancestral spirit is in bondage, has kept you in bondage. When Jesus said you are free from them. Is somebody with me? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's run faster now. When servants, Jesus help me. When servants found themselves in the place of sonship and do not understand that they've been transformed from servanthood to sonship, they are still servants. They're still servants. The Bible says that the prodigal son said to his father, the other son said to his father, I have been with you in this house. You have not given me goat, neither have you given me chicken. My vagabond brother had wasted everything and back. Now you're making feast for him. The father said, you've been with me, you have never asked me for goat. You have never asked me. As a matter of fact, have you ever killed a goat? And I say, why? You know why? The goats and the sheep are yours. They're yours. But because he had a servant mindset in a place of a son, so he was acting like a servant. That's why they say that a slave that love is chained cannot come out of it. He had a servant mindset. That's why we look forward to what they will do. That's why all these merchandises are making mockery of us. That's why they make mockery of our destinies. That's why they rubbish our identity and make Christianity look no more colorful. That's why they are far apart from the sheep. If you want to see your pastor, he signed for him. And it's a shepherd. How will a sheep fill a form to see the shepherd? It is the duty of the shepherd to look after the sheep. This time around, it's the duty of the sheep to sign for him to see the shepherd. The sheep that signed for him to see a shepherd is a servant. Are you understanding me? Find yourself in your fold. It is not every ministry that will be a blessing to your life. No. If you cannot find yourself where heaven wants you to be, so that you have access, hear me, sons of God, I want to bring this into your heart. The only reason why God brings you to church is that you'll be fed. Come on, sir, you'll be fed. Did you hear me? And if you're fed, let me give you four things for now that will take its place in your life. Number one, you will no longer be ashamed. If you're afraid, you'll no longer be what? Ashamed. Number two, fear will be gone out of your life. Number three, are you still with me? Number three, you will know. Come and say, I will know. Your covenant right. You will know your covenant right. You will know your left from your right. Praise the Lord. And somebody will say to you, leader, let me bless you. Leader, let me bless you. Leader, let me bless you. You are the first son. I will pray for the covenant breaking of the first son. Covenant breaking of first son. So second son and third son supposed to be in bondage forever. Are you understanding me? Now listen to me. These things are lies, they're manipulations. If you want to live 50 years, give 50,000 naira. So 50,000 can buy 50 years life. Mumu, who the deceiver? You don't need giving money to receive what has been given. Church, listen to me. This thing is your shirt, sir. Somebody said, give me 5,000 so that this shirt will become yours. That's what it means. And you go to the ATM and bring 5,000 and give him so that your shirt will become yours. We need to bring psychiatric doctors. Sorry. Are you there? Because it's yours. Heaven has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Number four, things that will happen to you when you find yourself in your fold. Listen to me. Can you say, what was number one? Number two? Thank you. Thank you. You're following me. Number three, you will know your covenant right. You will know your covenant right. Listen to me. Number four, you will have access. Come on, say access. To who? To your father. He is a father to your pastor and father to you. His relationship to your father is no different from yours. Hello? Hello? Come and say, I have access. That's why I call him what? Abba. Come and say, Abba. That's why I call him what? What do you understand by word Abba? My own. Personalized. So it's my God and you are God. You are not a grandchild. God doesn't have grandchildren. Hello? He doesn't have grandchildren. You don't send somebody to go to the camps and pray for you while you are in your house eating. And he say, because he has a relationship with God than you, it's a lie. They are deceiving you. If you, even when you are lying down in your bed with your food in your mouth, you are not fasting, you have not fasted, you are still eating, drinking your tea, he said, my father, he will hear you. Hello?
Hello? Sir.
Hello?
Hello, sir.
Please hear me. How many of you get food from your parents because you fasted? How many? No, your parents say, this son has fasted. This one didn't fast. I won't give this one food. I must give this one because this one is one fasting. That's not God. That's not a good father. And the Bible said, if your earthly father knows how to give good gift to his children, how much more your heavenly father? He is always on the lookout to see him that calls him. It shall come to pass in that day that whosoever that shall call upon the name of the Lord. You don't call a name of the Lord you don't know. Knowledge brings you close. The essence of the church, the reason why we gather is that you'll be fed. You'll be fed. And remember what it says in the book of, Jeremiah 33. Let's read verse 3 first. Let's read verse 3. Can you read for me? Verse 3, Jeremiah. Let me see Jeremiah. If I can find Jeremiah chapter 33. Can you see that? All right. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great things. Great and mighty things which you did not know. That's the essence of coming to church. Go ahead, verse 4. God of Israel, concerning the houses of the city and concerning the houses of the king of Judah, which are thrown down by the mount and by the sword. 5 and 6. Chaldeans, okay, verse 6. Just go verse 6. He said, behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. What will he reveal? He will reveal to you the abundance of what? Peace and truth. You will have peace. In a peaceless environment, you will have peace because of revelation of the truth. If you know the truth, you will not run helter-skelter. You will not run from pillar to post. Praise the Lord. Church, I say, praise the Lord. He will give you what? Let me hear you say it now. He will give you peace. Peace. And number two, he will give you what? Truth. Go again to that same Jeremiah 23. Let's see Jeremiah 23. I want you to understand the position we have as sons. We are not servants, sons of God. Servants cannot be used for supernatural activities. It can only be used, sons can only be used. Hear me. When thousands of servants labor here, they labor for one son that didn't labor. That's why you hear God said, I will give you the wealth and the treasures of the of what? I will give it to you. He's just explained that. The sons are superior to the servants. 1,000 may fall by your right hand, servants. 10,000 by your left hand, servants. But as long as it concerns you, the son, I will stand for it. God preserves his sons because their sons are agencies of new creation. God's predestined the sons for supernatural identity, to present himself unto the world. Because you are representatives of God. Let's read. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. No. 23, sir. 1 to 4. The same, yes. 1 to 4. Now hear this, please. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. What did he say to them? Curse. Come on, say curse. Curse be the pastors that did what? Destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Go ahead. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you. Sorry, visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Go ahead. And I will gather the remnants of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds. To their where? To their where? You have a fold. That is a place God wants you to be. Let me give you an example of what I'm trying to say. What does that mean to be in a fold? The Bible told us that when God was to destroy the heaven and earth, what did he do? The Bible said that he called Noah and asked him to gather all the animals. Are you there? Hello? God asked Noah to gather all the animals. And all the animals on this planet earth was gathered inside the boat. Except one. Except one. There is no record that God brought fish into the boat. You know why? Because what God is about to do is to, it will be at the advantage of the fish, because the fish are already in their fold. Oh, you didn't hear that? They are in their natural habitat. So the more water, the better the fish. Did you hear that? Why didn't the fish perish? Because they were in their fold. If you find yourself in your fold, you will not be destroyed. Hallelujah. You will not be destroyed. Don't lose your place. Come on, go ahead. And they shall be fruitful. Come on, say fruitful. Do you know why God brought you here? That you will be what? Come on, say I will be fruitful. Say it again. For the last time. And number two, I will increase. You must increase. Hallelujah. But for finally. And I will set up shepherd over them, which shall feed them, and they shall. Did I say that before? That's one duty of a shepherd, to take fear away from you. If you sleep, they say, if you dream that you ate food in the dream, that is a proof that you have a marine spirit. Is it what they told you? Praise the Lord. That's why you hear some people, they will write all kinds of books. Dream and interpretation. If you dream, wear seat white is standing before you. It's a lifting. If it's black, it's a demotion. You buy. Am I making sense? Hear this one more time. Sir, no one dream from two people that are the same. If you dream, wear black seat is in your front. Call it promotion. Come on, start here. Let me hear you say it again. What you call it is what it is. You know what the devil will make you say? Devil will make you call it demotion. And tomorrow it will become, and he will say that that book is what? Who called it demotion? Who made it demotion? Because there is power, life and death. Life in the power of the tongue. They that love thee shall eat the fruit, what? Thereof. So when you dream and it is a black cheer, don't call it promotion either. Call it great promotion. Double promotion. Double one. Amen? Are you still with me? Because don't allow any man to dictate your life for you. Let the word of God be true. I will set shepherds over them. They shall feed them and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall there be, come and say what?
Lacking.
Fruitful and increase. Did you know what he said? Neither shall there be lacking. Neither shall there be lacking. I think I'm speaking to somebody. Are you still with me? Praise be to the name of the Lord. Neither shall there be, glory to God. You are called unto a higher position. You are called unto a higher position. Let's see Jeremiah 3. Let's see verse 14. Let's see verse 14 on this. I think I'll round up. 14 to 16. Turn, O backslidden children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Are we in Zion?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. And I will give you what? What is the duty of the pastor? Please come and talk with me now. What is the duty of the pastor? To do what? Come and talk with me now. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you. Come and say, feed me. Come and say, feed me. With what? You shall know and understand. Now let me explain it. You will have the knowledge and be rooted to stand. So when the enemy comes with all kinds of jokes, you tell him, get out. Get out of this place. Get out. You can't come here. Somebody told us some months back that where they stay, some people came and brought mirror. Brought mirror and started giving everybody. They should pay for whatever money. They should start breaking mirror. People that are calling them in the mirror, that they should call me in the mirror. Hello? Listen. I didn't want to be able, I can't see. You didn't understand. Listen to me. Call me in the mirror. You know why you are afraid? Because you think that the enemy is in charge. Are you there? When you understand that all power is given to you, he gave you power and authority. Satan doesn't have anyone. So when he calls the mirror, when he calls the mirror, who will appear in the mirror? Because you are hid in Christ. Oh, somebody come and hear me. I will feed you with wisdom, with knowledge and understanding. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, says the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. You know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? They shall no longer say the ark of the Lord. The covenant of the Lord. They shall no longer be looking for the ark of the Lord or the covenant of the Lord, because you become a covenant of God. You become the ark of God. You become the person that God deals with. So when people want to see God, they will see you. Church, am I still with you? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So the sons are the one that demonstrates God's fullness. The servants are the one that are used to fulfill a certain purpose for the sons to take over. I saw a passage in the scripture that amazes me. Romans chapter number 8 verse 19. And it says that the earnest expectations of the righteous are waiting for the manifestations. It didn't say servants. They are waiting for who? Manifestations. Of who? The sons of God. Hear me, sons of God. There shall be a manifestation in your life. Amen. What that translation says is that there are people are waiting to see the beauty of God play in your life. People are waiting to see you become God in the earth. Because you shall demonstrate the fullness of God's power bodily. Bodily. The evidence of his supernatural will be displayed in your life. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Verse 14 of that Romans 8. I think he made a statement. And he says, can you read that? For as many that are led. For as many that are led by what? By the Spirit of God. They are what? Sons of God. You will not engage in businesses that will fail. Because you know why? You are led by the Spirit of God. You are a son. So when you step in, God will say, that will not work. That's why sometimes you see sons, they want to do business, and the people they want to do business with say, we don't want to do business with you. Most of the sons that don't understand will return and they start crying. Say, Pastor, that business will have given me so much money. I didn't know why they blacklisted me. God is one leading you, because that business will not bring glory to the Lord in you. There is something about him that sometimes he takes you out from danger. You may not see what he sees. He sees beyond you. So when he takes the business away, give him thanks, because you are led by the Spirit of God. If you understand that and celebrate him, he will connect you to the one that will make you better. Hear me, sons of God. God will not lead you where the pastures are dry. He will lead you where there are what? Green pastures. If the way seems very dry and he brought you into it, it simply means that he wants to use that adversity to propel the prosperity that he has embedded in your inside. There is something about you that is bigger than who you are now. I'm here to announce to you, as sons of God, you will not lose your place. I say you will not lose your place. Son of God, I say you will not lose your place. Do you believe me? Say better amen. You will not lose your place. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will not lose your place. Because heaven is set. And I end with this, Philippians chapter number 2 verse 15. Let's close with that for today. Philippians chapter number 2 verse 15. Everyone that came before Jesus, the Bible called them thieves. May I say this with boldness? Moses was a servant. Elijah was a servant. Elisha was a servant. Everyone that came before him, they were what? Servants. But when God once addressed you, he didn't call you servant. He called you what? Sons. Sons are better than servants. Servants labor, sons enjoy. No matter how long a servant has lived in the house, he will not take the place of son. A son is a son. Even when he misbehaves, he's still a son. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Can you read that? Philippians 2 verse 15. Please, just read it one by one. Don't be fast. Who will shine? Hello? You know why you will shine? You are the light. Because sons are light. They sit upon darkness, and darkness fizzles. Amen. Darkness fizzles. Praise be to the name of the Lord. That's why when we come to church, we don't pray for Satan to leave. When we come to church, we don't cast out darkness in this house. When we step in, as long as he sights us, he will run away. Praise the Lord. He will say, they are coming, oh, they are coming. Let's go. Because darkness makes light beautiful. I announce to you, your light will shine. In the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what is going around you today, That does not stop the shining of your light. You are a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid.